Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast, brought to you by the Scottish Rugby blog. I am Cammy Black. What a week it has been, and it is only Thursday. There has been, after last week, we recorded a podcast. We said there's not really that much to talk about. We'll do a Patreon-only one, and we'll just pull the best bits out, and we'll stick those out on for everybody else. We could have spent all week podcasting about everything that's happening in Scottish Rugby and that happened at the weekend. So here we are. We've got, joining me this evening, we've got Craig Manson. Good evening, Craig.
Good evening.
We've got Johnny McGinty. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you, Johnny. We are live at the minute. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch, but you can also download the podcast on any podcast apps or sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast. And every week you get a little bonus episode as well where we talk in a bit more detail about some of the issues. And for those people on the Reddit board asking, where's good to learn about Scottish rugby, saying they just do short podcasts anymore, we do. We put out the short podcast for the general public, but we do a longer one as well for Patreons. So pay £3 a month and you can enjoy that. There's your answer. What was interesting about that board, Johnny, I thought, was that despite almost everybody on that board saying they didn't enjoy the podcast, we were the most mentioned outlet.
Yeah. Everyone coming in to say, oh yeah, they used to be good, but now all they talk about is women's rugby and their podcasts aren't long enough. And everybody else got like one mention of people saying, yeah, they're all right. Like, fine. Let the hate flow through you.
That's why you got the hood up tonight.
Yep. It's not that cold. To do with the fact that it's absolutely Baltic.
Craig's in a t-shirt. You live in the same part of the country as one another.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Let's just say that I don't live in the sticks where they have to, like, you know, burn heathens to heat their house.
That's word for word exactly what I'm doing. If by heathens you mean Aldi heat logs, then that's what I'm doing.
I thought you were going to say, if by heathens you mean the poor.
Well, classic story move. Oh, thank you. Johnny has got a
big
lot of
ideas. Yeah, cardboard behind me. Oh, mate, honestly. If I thought I could get away with burning some of the people in this
There's no end of the aisle cardboard boxes for Johnny McGinty. Only the finest cardboard will do. IKEA. Johnny goes to IKEA for his cardboard.
Only the proper IKEA.
Only the cardboard that caresses the cans of Beluga on their way from none of your free Bentos tin cardboard.
Speaking of beluga and posh dinners, Mark Dodson's resigned this week.
Seamless,
almost like we planned it. Which I kind of take it like it came as a surprise, but it also didn't come as a surprise, Craig. I think that the surprising thing for me was that he didn't see out his term, because he's always struck me as a stubborn man. And I think because he hadn't gone immediately in the aftermath of the apology from John McGuigan around how they dealt with, you know, Siobhan Cattigan's death and everything that flowed from that, I felt like he'd maybe hung on enough, long enough to kind of see everything out and just maybe ride out his contract. But he surprised us all.
Well, I was waiting on him saying he's not going to leave unless he gets a private jet, 10 million, and his assets frozen in the USA, unfrozen in the USA, and he can bring his family out at the same time, as most dictators get the chance to do. For those on Reddit and those that listen to us, even though they're a bit begrudgingly upset with us, I'm going to talk a little bit about politics here, boys and girls. The noise that you hear in the background is each domino falling in the SRU at this moment in time. And that is, I think Dodson is the biggest domino of the lot, who's falling because of the sad affairs of Siobhan Cattigan. And I think he is no matter how much you want to dress it up, I think it's a jump before something more serious comes along.
Yeah, I mean, we can but speculate. It seems he had 2025, so another year to run on the contract, Johnny, and he's going in the summer. It does feel like I think that he was in fairly combative mood, I think, at the press conference he did where he announced it. I think the kind of his approach has always been never apologize, never explain, and I think we just got more of that with the resignation.
Yeah, and then a little bit of a follow-up where he basically came out and said, no, it's got nothing to do with Siobhan Cattigan. Wherever did you get that idea? Like,
isn't it? But wasn't he? He was asked about it.
A bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm not going to speak about that. And then he's like, okay, fine. I'm going to speak about it. Nothing to do with that. Like, come on. Just stick to no comment. Otherwise, we will speculate.
He's the original don't back down, double down.
He's just taking our idea.
But probably some years in the distant past, probably around the time of Scott Johnson coming, kind of taking over from Andy Robinson, there was a lot, the bullish approach that Dodson was taking, Craig, was having some impact, some positive impacts, I think, that probably Scottish rugby needed it at the time. It needed someone to come in and bash a few heads together and plough through a lot of the noise around governance structures and bald men fighting over combs that we were still seeing kind of played out in Welsh rugby. People worried about, well, if I give up my blazer, I'm going to lose my free tickets, rather than the wider impact on the game. So I think in the early days, there was certainly some impact, but I think the longer that you can sustain that longer term. And so then we've had a series of very short-term poor decisions that have actually financially damaged the SRU in the long run. You're investing in Old Glory DC and French clubs it's hard to see where the benefit of any of that came from. And this is supposed to be a very astute businessman.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, so first of all, I think he came at the right time. I think the SRU did need a dictator at that point in time and needed someone, just as you say, Cammy, to knock some heads to go together and maybe knock a few brass buttons off blazers. And he has, if you look at Murrayfield now, you struggle to get a ticket for home games for Scotland playing at home. Both the pro clubs are in better positions than they've ever been. So there's a lot of good things that you can, if you want to point to under his stewardship, no matter whether you you have an idea whether you think he's been involved in those sort of decisions or not. And I'm not sure he's been hugely involved in the decisions of investing in Old Glory, etc. I think that's been more of a committee decision and he's kind of gone along with it. However, you see the other side of the dictatorship side of feelings, as in when he decides that, you know, or somebody decides they take a path and they can't turn very quickly if the path is not working. For example, Keith Russell, the grassroots game is really struggling. Our pathway for youth coming through is struggling now. The Siobhan Cadogan affair, etc. Scotland women not being up to speed of England women with being paid, etc. So there's, you know, you really have to look at both sides and say, right, well, he's had a positive effect on this side, but unfortunately he's had a very negative effect on this side. And you've got to try and wonder has it been a balance of good and bad, or whether it's been more bad than good? You just don't know. But I think he was just at the start of everything. I think he came in where Scotland rugby, I don't think we were able to sell out Murrayfield at all when he first came on board. And we're now at a stage where Murrayfield can command a lot of money and bring in a lot of money. It's what they do with it is the big problem.
I think that's it, isn't it, John? I mean, it's commercially, it's hard to argue that he hasn't been successful. I think the problem is that rugby union in any country, but particularly in Scotland, is a very it's multifaceted. You can't just purely focus on getting people in through the gates, paying for big dinners, there's been success on the pitch as well, but it's not been done in a long term way. There is nothing has stuck. You know, the academies have. There's not been a lot of evidence that the academies have done an awful lot. The sevens program's gone altogether. It's just merged with GB sevens. The under 20s, the state the under 20s are in, and then you've got what's happened. You know, the super six. Nobody knows what to do with it now. So commercially, yes, he's got them in a stronger place, but everything else just feels like an utter mess. And I think it's Alan McDonald on the comments and saying ultimately the 10 million hole in the budget's what's done him. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, you cannot keep a union afloat purely on gate receipts alone.
No. And he is definitely much, much better at the commerce and at the fundraising and things like that than he ever was at the rugby structures. I mean, away from rugby completely, he brought Beyonce and Bruce Springsteen to Murrayfield last year, and they were at Hampden the last time they came over. He's bringing Taylor Swift. He's bringing in these massive concerts in summer that are... as well
can
as
you imagine that negotiation? he's personally brought in Taylor Swift.
but the thing is, like the Rolling Stones as well, he's moving, he's attracted these massive concerts that are bringing in loads and loads of money. They're selling out games as well. Like the commercial side of it is clearly going really well. But like you say, what they're doing with that money then when it comes in is not making the best use of it. And I don't think he ever had the sort of rugby aptitude that he had for commerce. And so he's got all this money. And at the end of the day, like as for all the committees and things that there might be, when it comes down to it, he's the man in charge. And if he's not making the right decisions or pushing the committees in the right direction, then that money's being wasted. Yeah. Which is basically like with me what's happened.
Where we end up with the tech, you can be commercially viable, you can be commercially successful for a period of time, but if ultimately you don't understand the business you're in, a hole in the budget will appear at some point. And I think it probably would have appeared sooner had it not been for the rescue package that the Scottish government put in during COVID. You know, you've got an MSP on record saying Scottish rugby needed the money to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. So I think there have been suggestions, and David Barnes has always covered this really well in detail. That if you ever want to know anything about the Scottish rugby accounts, it's read David Barnes' articles about it, because he goes into really good detail about it. And he'd been saying even pre-COVID, this is a castle built on sand. There are cracks in this, and it took the pandemic to expose them. There's been some short-term fixes, and here we are, almost back to where we started. Alan McDonald with an excellent. This is the part of the problem.
He needs to stop it.
He'll shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. He will, Alan.
That was the follow up. Him saying, "Are you and Dodson are never, ever, ever
getting back together?" Yeah.
If Alan's good for one thing, it's really difficultly crowbarred in horrendous dad joke puns. We know that.
which is right on brand for this podcast. I think the worry for me now, though, Craig, is with any organisation where you get somebody like that who's gone or going, it does create a bit of a vacuum, because there will always be, especially when you've got a character like Mark Dodson, who's always been his way or the highway, there will always be people within the organisation, either at a governance level or, a staffing level, who will have their own agendas and things that they want to make happen. And this is an opportunity for that, when there's a little bit of instability, people to start to move and maybe kind of push things that might not be for the best in Scottish rugby, so that they're going to have to bring somebody in pretty quickly. And you would hope it's somebody who's maybe a little bit more politically astute in how they manage the relationship with the wider game.
Yeah, and
I wish I had a guest that goes, "My God, that's Al Calix music."
Please no, because John Anderson will have an absolute fit. I think the only thing I'm concerned, because Murrayfield and Scotland team, Edinburgh, etc., Glasgow tend to be a little bit less affected because they're quite far away from Murrayfield. They've got their own. They've got Al Kellogg in there, so wandering around banging doors and desks and making sure people are all scared of him. But Murrayfield is kind of run by committee an awful lot. And what I worry about is going from someone who's a dictator to then a committee of like the Monty Python group that are sitting at the side going, what have they ever done for us apart from this and apart from that? And then, I just have a complete concern that they're going to go totally and utterly skewed to the other way of trying to work together as a committee and getting absolutely nowhere. What you will find, however, is there's green shoots there, because McGuigan? He seemed to be bang on with his apology, and he seems to be fairly straight up with what he's got to say for it. However, when you've got someone who wasn't apologising, didn't seem to be that human when it came to responses to a human crisis, he's going to look good whenever he's just a normal person. He's going to look good, so you worry about it. I think I'm more concerned about them trying to now run the SRU by committee, and that is a concern.
Yeah, and I think we've seen. John, you know, committees are great, and they're great for overseeing things and making sure things are being done properly and in the interest of the game. But ultimately, to drive things forward, you can't do it that way. And I suppose you need someone with a bit of Dodson in him, but also someone that isn't just going to sue the weather at the first sign of trouble.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, you have to have someone who makes the decisions. Like, otherwise it doesn't work. If you're expecting everything to be made, every decision to be made by a committee, then no decision is ever going to get made. So there's got to be someone who is at the top and says, "Yes, we're doing this. No, we're not doing that." And that, like, that does have to be a certain kind of persona. You know, we may have like poked a bit of fun at Dodson for the last few years, but that's exactly the sort of persona that you need to have to be doing that kind of job. But yeah, we maybe dial it back a little bit and don't sue the weather. By the way, it was World Rugby threatened to sue, and I think we can all agree that they are the baddies. And I'm sick of people making fun of him for saying he's tried to sue the weather, because he didn't. He tried to sue the true baddies, and I think I would let him off with it.
Well, he didn't. He tried to sue the organisers of the World Cup.
I have to say,
who aren't World Rugby, who are one removed from World Rugby somehow.
Johnny is really, drawing them. That's a Tory 101, support the dictator. You know,
Johnny Strahan would say what you like about Mark Dodson, but technically he didn't sue the weather.
I'm just saying, like, he did go after the actual baddies. Okay. He might have come off looking like a baddie when he did it.
Yeah, but the point, his point was, I can't believe you're not gonna let us play in a typhoon. That was the entire argument.
His pitch was maybe a little bit off.
Yeah, and then I blame the SRU's communication staff at that point in time. I think they could have told a little bit of truth to power and said,
I think, yeah, there might have been an element of what are you going to go before we call this press conference? Just run it past me again, Mark. You're going to say?
Yeah, because the thing
the game has to go ahead and okay.
People are always keen to point out that, like, there were people actually dying in that typhoon, and yeah. So maybe as like a little bit of foot stamping wasn't the most appropriate response.
It felt like the kind of they'd been sat around drinking sake the night before, him and the comms team, and it felt like a very good idea at the time. And then in the morning,
they just opened the hotel curtains and go, "Well, let's fight here."
In the morning, woken up and gone, "We seem to have arranged a press conference, lads. Anyone know what it's about?"
"Oh no! What did we do last night?"
"Where's Mark? Where's
Mark? God, he's saying something about the weather."
"Where is he? Where is he? He's on stage. Quick! We're too late." Yeah. So, I think I always thought we'd get to the end of Mark Dodson's tenure and we'd be saying, well, you know, there was the bad, there was the good, and overall, Scottish rugby's in a better place. But I think, actually, given the 10 million hole in the budget, I don't think it is. Yeah. And I do wonder how long cracks have been papered over for. So we'll see. We'll see whether it's a case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss, or we get somebody different in.
Big Al will sort it.
Big Al will sort it. I like Big Al and his woke agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the weekend's rugby. Let's talk about the weekend's rugby. Speaking of white noise over racist chants, let's start with Glasgow, shall we, Johnny?
Shall
we just talk about the end of that game? Has anyone worked out what's happened yet?
No, I don't think so. What I would like to say, though, before we get into any of it, is, yes, it was one of the most confusing decisions I've seen in a very long time. No, I don't think it was right. But, as friend of the pod, Rhiannon Garth-Jones will always point out, if you are within a score and you lose to a refereeing decision, it's because you didn't win the game. So, Glasgow could have won that game. They could have had it put away. They didn't. And the fact that they lost because of one strange refereeing decision is not the referee's fault.
No, but let's
all that being said, what?
Craig, what you are waiting on this?
I don't even know where to start.
You have thoughts on this. You thought you were firmly in the no try camp.
I can't weigh in on this. Being the go to Glasgow hater, you can't have that. I love Glasgow. I always support them when you know there's no one else to support. The issue I have is I honestly don't see. I think the ball was lifted before he let go of the scrum, but from what I can tell, because if he is still bound to the scrum, he is still on side. The minute he takes his arm or perceived bind off the scrum, he is offside. Because he has to be at the back of the scrum to be onside. However, he did. It was almost like the ball was picked up and he came off the flank as a flanker would normally do, because the scrum looked to be over because it had collapsed. The flanker on Exeter's side had disengaged from the scrum as well. So I think it's technically correct, but when I say technically correct, it's really, really on shaky ground to really stand and say, like, that's a game changing moment. But on the other side of things, it might be, you could argue the other way. It's a game changing moment at the end of the game, and he wasn't bound on the scrum. So it's a really I don't really want to get involved in it because it's just going to be, well, Edinburgh.
If I speak, I am in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got someone there, like, so the end of the game was penalties galore. And I think there is an element of that, Johnny, of everybody was at it, so just let the try happen, because it was quite a funny thing to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. And I know this happens in all facets of rugby, but it just seems a bit weird to pick on one specific thing when so much was happening. Let the boys play and all that. Like,
Whoa! You can't be bringing that in. What I would say, however, is, and this may not surprise a lot of people, is that when I say I'll only support Glasgow when there's nobody else to support, I'll always support Glasgow when they're up against the Exeter Chiefs. So,
I said to someone on Saturday afternoon, Craig, I support Edinburgh all the time unless they're playing Glasgow. So I'm glad you feel the same. I am hashtag sometimes Edinburgh.
It's speaking of the opposition, Johnny, it's hard to tell. I've seen bits of the game, but not all of it. And I certainly haven't watched Exeter much this season, but Glasgow haven't had much luck down south of the border against bigger teams like Saris and Exeter on the road. But is that an improved performance from Glasgow, or have they come up against the poor Exeter side?
I think a bit of both. And it's really hard to tell with Glasgow this season, because sometimes this season Glasgow have looked great. And then sometimes this season they seem to be playing the same but not looked good, which is really weird. Like, I don't think they necessarily played very badly against Munster and ended up getting tonked. And they probably didn't play much better or worse than that at the weekend. And it was a really, really close game against a team that I've not seen a huge amount of this season, but they are perennially at the thick end of European competition. So, yeah, it's a strange one. I think that Glasgow's performances have, in a weird way, sometimes looked better than they were and sometimes looked worse than they were for being the same performance. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it's still good to be still in it at this stage, given it's a new year. That's
just
not always the case. That's easy.
You can't say nothing after all the things I've said about how easy beating Toulon would be in the Challenge Cup final.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but no. But then again, Glasgow always raise their game when they're at home, and bringing a Toulon side up to the west end of Glasgow, you know, it's an interesting thing for them as well. That, you know, plastic pitch as well and different things like that. So Toulon. Sorry?
Very cold this on Friday night.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting one. And at least, you know, I think Glasgow for me, I think Glasgow are becoming more and more, people are starting to see through how they play, and they're starting to realise that, you know, if they can defend them all, that Glasgow then have to do something else. And Glasgow can do something else. They've got a good back division, but if you've got a solid rush defence and you've got a good maul defence, then Glasgow become a little bit unstuck. And that for me is kind of showing where we are with them. However, and this has got nothing to take away from, you know, I'm trying not to take away from what Glasgow are doing, because Glasgow are above Edinburgh and have shown themselves in the last 2 years as a very, very good outfit. So, but I think people are starting to see through how they play and they're starting to defend appropriately.
Poor Johnny Matthews.
I think the back line on Friday, I know, he's doing everything and Craig will just give him no respect. The back line on Friday will be a whole different proposition, because Glasgow have now got most of their key backline players, the stars in the backline, back in the positions that they're meant to be in. So it's Sione at 12, Hugh Jones at 13 on Friday night, Kyle Rowe and Kyle Steyn on the wings. That's more like the backline that we're used to. And it's that's the sort of backline that could be really, really dangerous if you give them half a chance.
Yeah. And Jack Dempsey's back as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ferguson at 7 and Dempsey on at 8. That's a fairly decent back row, yeah.
Other European action then at the weekend, Craig. Equally heartbreaking last minute defeat for Edinburgh. Bosch, two chances to qualify, because even if you lose to the Scarlets, there's still a chance that you can qualify.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's not weird. It's just the way they designed the competition, that anybody can qualify unless you're really, really honking. I was gutted. I think they threw that one away. Again, it's that whole thing of broken play really pulls Edinburgh's defence apart. But when it's kind of when they're kind of controlled in defence and they keep their lines straight and they get up in front of the players' faces, they can defend incredibly well. But once things start to go wrong, they really go wrong. And it was just a, you know, we were all excited, and you know, but the problem you have is when you go ahead with 10 minutes to go, and it looks like a really gutsy performance from Edinburgh, you know that something's going to happen and they're going to manage to throw it away somehow. And that sounds terrible to say because I'm a big Edinburgh fan, but you just get used to it at times. What was fantastic is to hear the Hive loud, although it was kind of more Gloucester fans than Edinburgh fans. I think the Gloucester fans travelled really, really well. Other at the University of Edinburgh, yeah, that's true. or at the Farming College out at Oakridge. I think they've, you know, it's not looking, it wasn't looking too great. But then we are going incredibly heavy-handed down to Scarlets. And I'm afraid to say I've got a feeling we're going to be sitting there going, no, stop it, they're already dead by the end of Friday night.
And what about your coach? Because and we have to say, well done to the offside line for the commitment to the bit of inverted constantly referred to as inverted commas senior coach. Yeah. Ever since he was appointed, he's now officially head coach of Edinburgh.
Head coach, yeah.
He's got a proper job title and a 2-year extension. How does that feel, Craig? So I know there was a little bit when he was first appointed, there was a little bit of who dat? Mm. Is this really, you know, is this really the kind of big name signing we're hoping for Edinburgh? But he's come in and, you know, maybe kind of steadied the ship a little bit. There are some green shoots with Edinburgh. It's not all kind of the falling apart the way it was at the end of the Mike Blair era. Have you seen him? Do you think he's done enough to earn that 2-year contract? Or do you think this is kind of Mark Dodson's dying thing? It's like, I'm going to lump them with a Duff coach for 2 years.
Well, either that or they're just trying to, you know, they're trying to recreate another Glasgow situation where they've got brought in a South African coach who everyone kind of went, hey, really? And the facts they found out he's quite good. My problem with the whole thing is he's coming in for a year as lead coach or whatever you want to call it.
Inverted comma, right? Senior coach.
Senior coach, my apologies. And then he has earned a contract extension for 2 years. Well, if I was on the Patreon side of the pod, you would hear me swear here. Why are we gambling with Edinburgh Rugby to see if a coach is going to do okay? That for me is that doesn't make me feel like my season ticket money that I was spent last year, not this year, unfortunately, or my ticket money and my support money, etc., is worth paying for. Because I just feel that you don't go out and say, yeah, we've brought in this coach and we're going to try him out for a year to see how you go with our full professional team. It seems a bit, what's the word? It seems a little bit of a slap in the face. Now, okay, he's doing okay. I'm concerned about how how blunt our attack looks at the moment. And I'm concerned about that we seem to be working one-off runners an awful lot of the time. And a lot of the heavy hitters, it looks like we're just trying to go knock down the front door all the time. We had that with Cockers and it didn't work. And unless I can see the attack developing and becoming smoother along with the single runners getting a little bit of support so we're not turned over all the time, I'll be a happier guy. So again, it's this...
Did I not see something saying that it was him that wanted the taster, not the club? I thought it was Sean Everett said he wanted to come up for a while if he liked it.
Yeah, yes, but again, this is this whole thing. It's not so much.
Why employ someone on that basis if someone's not sure about taking the job?
Want them there. Yeah. I'll come and try your team out and see if I like it, and I'll try out your city. No, we'll get somebody else that actually really wants to commit.
But I guess who? That was always the question, isn't it? Is who? It was a miracle to get Richard Cockerell at the time, and that didn't particularly pan out that well. But you know, I think the who's a big question.
Mm.
And I think there probably are a lot. There are Scottish coaches that are coming through, but they're not there yet. I mean, Mike Blair had a crack at it; it didn't work, and he's gone off to develop his coaching skill set a little bit more. So, I think that's probably the hole the SRU found themselves in. I can't believe I'm defending them. Was there was simply nobody else available?
Oh, I totally understand that, Cammy. I really do. I guess this is maybe me being a little bit kind of, how dare they take that risk with my club? But on the other side of things, maybe I've got a highly inflated self of importance with myself and my club. Maybe the club is an eighth place in the URC on a regular basis, or a 12th place in the URC and on a regular places club that deserves somebody to experiment on them. I don't know. It just feels like both the SRU and Sean Everett took it on as an experiment to see how it goes. And I just feel, you know, Edinburgh deserve more than that. Hopefully, I really do hope that I'm going to eat my words. I've said this before when he was first employed. I really hope that when he was first employed for Edinburgh, I really hope I'm going to eat my words. Because I really hope he's going to do great things for the club, and he's got my support. I just feel a little bit burned by it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Other big news this week is we've got the Scotland squad for the Six Nations is out. There are four new caps. Got Harry Patterson, Craig. I think was it the Southern Knights he played for?
Yeah.
I forgot that. Yep. I saw a couple of games with some of the Southern Knights. He looked really good. He's been good for been playing quite well for Edinburgh. So it's quite, when we were talking about it, it didn't come up in the names when we were talking the other week about, you know, what exciting names could there be? But it's quite an interesting call.
Yeah, I think we're light on winger stroke fullbacks. Harry Patterson can cover both. He has been, for someone who looks like he's about 12, he is ferocious in attack. He's not scared of taking contact. Probably the last two concussions he's had has proven that. He takes a fair knock when he comes and plays at Edinburgh. I think if you speak to anybody that's involved with Edinburgh Rugby, whether it's a fan or somebody who's within Edinburgh Rugby, they think he deserves it, and he's done and we're absolutely over the moon for him, because he really does. When he comes out, he he plays, how can I put it? It's like you look at Pierre Schumann and you think, yeah, he's going to run hard at people and he's going to be a strong player and he's going to do this, that, and the other. Harry Patterson just really is a Darcy Graham. He's very, very strong in contact. He's not afraid of going into contact. He's quick on the ball. He's very, very quick running as well. So, you know, fair play to him. I'm over the moon for him. I was disappointed not to see Matt Curry getting the opportunity to go into camp, you know. I'm really pleased for him.
It's good, Johnny, I think, that to see somebody... I was going to say, it's good to see...
Edinburgh Twitter pointed out he demolished an NFL superstar on Saturday night, so...
Yeah. More on that later.
Look at a wide receiver. But I think one of the things we've been critical of Scotland in the past is not just chucking in young players at the deep end in international rugby, because other countries do it and they, you know, it's like ducks to water. We see, do you know, the future NFL All-Stars kind of lighting things up on the wing. You know, there's been plenty
of
players for Ireland and Wales in the past where they've come through quite young, been given a chance. We've seen it with Darcy Graham, but it hasn't always been the case, Johnny, that we've given someone like Harry Patterson a chance. And I kind of hope that Tooney takes a bit of a punt with him and doesn't just save it for a run out against Italy.
Yeah, we said it last week, this time last week, as we were doing the squad preview, we had a bit of a chat about what young players are coming through. We can't see anyone. We'll have to kind of wait and see what happens. And then Harry Patterson appears out of absolutely nowhere. And yeah, might just be an international quality player just like that. You never know. Another person who was a bit like that, who's still proven to be a bit like that, is maybe the reason that Patterson's in the squad, was Ollie Smith, who came in very young and was good straight away. And obviously losing him for the year has been a massive blow for Glasgow and for Scotland. But Patterson might just be the same sort of player, might be even more taken to it than Ollie Smith was.
Yeah. And the other surprise names we've got, Alec Hepburn, Will Hurd, Hugh McLaren, and Aaron Reed. So this is what we've promised, which is Gregor Townsend getting out the family trees and seeing how we can restock the front rows.
Never wanted to shy away from a bit of nonsense. The Exeter put Alec Hepburn in a tartan scarf and said he's off to join the clan on their club social media, because they do love a bit of questionable racial stereotyping.
They should have just put him in a CU Jimmy hat, and then that would have just added it all, you know. Although from what we know, Alec Hepburn is purely down to Johnny Gray finding out that he had a Scottish grandmother or something like that, or a granddad, or because he told Johnny Gray that he was Scottish qualified, and Johnny Gray laughed, apparently. And then all of a sudden they found out he was serious. Don't get me wrong, he's a good loose head prop. He does a job. I'll be interested to see how he fares in camp. Same with, I've totally forgotten his name now, it's gone completely out of my head, but the tight head from Leicester, he's not had many starts, so we'll have to see how he goes with in camp and see how he, you know, you never know, he might be named on the bench in front of WP.
Who knows? The big omissions are Mish isn't in there. I think probably Craig, not unexpected. It's not that much of a surprise these days. I think Gregor Townsend said it could still come in, and he's an international player, could come in and do a real job for Scotland, but it's perhaps not unexpected he's not in there. Same with Chris Harris. Same with Rory. Well, I guess the Rory Southern one's maybe a bit of a head scratcher, perhaps, but I've not seen how he's going for Oyuna. Dave Cherry, I'm surprised people are surprised, if I'm honest.
Don't see Dave Cherry scoring 20 tries in a year. That's all I'm going to say.
But Scotland don't have the Scotland don't have the attacking maul that Glasgow have, to be perfectly honest with you. They don't have, well, we've got a couple of big South Africans, but we don't have a couple of big, massive 6'10" South Africans. Yeah, the less said about that, the better. But Mish is a head omission, but a heart surprise, if you know what I mean. We're all like, oh, but Mish, every time Mish plays for Scotland, he gives absolutely everything. And even when he came on, did he not come off the bench, or he started in the World Cup? He's one game, and he came out and he actually played like the old Mish did, and we're all really happy for him. And then he got hooked at about 50 or 60 minutes. So I wish he could play on forever, because he really does. You know, he really does make us think of good times for Scotland, but unfortunately, that's where we are. Things have moved on,
and even we've got the suggestion, Johnny, that Jamie Ritchie might even, well, not lose the captaincy, but not be given it, I suppose.
Yeah, which I don't know. That's another one where it feels like a weird decision, but it's probably actually not. Like, he's been a great captain when he's done it. He's the same as Mish. Like, he would run through a wall, and people would run through a wall behind him because he was doing it. But we did see a little bit in the World Cup warm-ups of areas where he maybe needs to work on his talking to the referee. And when you saw Finn taking over as captain in the World Cup warm-ups, his manner with the referee was markedly better than Jamie Ritchie's. So if we think that's something that we need to work on, then you can see why Jamie might take a back seat from being captain for a while, because he does get on the wrong side of referees really quickly. And I think he can still be a leader for the team without being the captain. Like, he can essentially be the captain in the huddle, but somebody else talks to the ref.
I like the suggestion that Sione Tuipulotu could be the captain, because I can't see any referee in the world not liking Sione. He just seems like the nicest guy.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great captain. Yeah. Craig will be along in a second to say your captain should always be a forward.
Have you heard me say that? Nothing to the point.
Not a fullback. Not a fullback.
Listen, absolutely not a fullback, and to be perfectly honest, as long as Sione doesn't come along to Gregor Townsend and says, "I'd really like to be captain, please," then he's welcome to it.
I think that is, if they ask to be captain, then they shouldn't be captain.
Absolutely, nobody should be captain if they ask. Nobody who asked to be captain should be captain. That's for sure.
I like, there was a great saying with somebody taught me today. I was doing some training at work. I was doing some training on kind of managing workloads and stress at work. Someone at the end said, "Oh, you reminded me of the great quote. I would trust you with it for the US Navy SEALs. I'd trust you with my life, but would I trust you with my wife?" She got an essential quality in a Scotland captain.
Well, you know, no comments at all, apart from you wouldn't trust me with either. That's a different story.
This is still the public podcast, Craig.
I was just saying what was on my mind, allegedly.
What we'll do though, we'll dive a bit more deeper into the squad and the implications and all that in the Patreon podcast. That's it for the main podcast this week. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about the two European games, probably a bit more build up. I don't know when's that Netflix documentary starting.
Next week, Wednesday.
Wednesday next week. Yeah. Netflix documentary, which they've built on players who no longer play the sport, which just they must have been absolutely loving that. We're just going to build it around Stuart Hogg.
Stuart Hogg and Lucy's, he loved it so much he buggered off to America.
I've just discovered I love being on TV and I am out of here.
So yeah, we'll talk about some of that next week as well. But for the moment, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from Johnny and Craig.
Bye all. Oh, hang on a minute, Cammy. Don't finish just yet.
Well, we're going to the Patreon pod. It's fine, don't Craig. Is this for the main pod?
Don't finish. This is for the main pod. just for everyone who's been on, who's been like me, who's been a listener on the main pod and also became a Patreon, just a big thank you to you, Cammy. Cammy's leaving us, if everyone hasn't already seen the tweets and information on the blog. I've listened to Cammy since this podcast started, and he has really built this podcast to what it is. And both Johnny and I and the rest of the team owe him a huge debt. And I just wanted to say thank you. And hopefully we'll have you back, and we'll have you back for a few different things, especially if we can get the old Johan or whatever back every so often, especially with a glass of wine in his hand. But I just wanted to say a big thank you from all of us, and good luck, and we hope to see you soon.
Well, it's my pleasure.
If you see Cammy in Cardiff, he drinks 3 pints of Heineken.
I absolutely do not. I will not drink that pish.
That's all you get in the stadium, so brace yourself.
Oh, Christ. I'll do my dad. I'll get one of those little plastic bottles of wine. That'll do me. Get more percent, more alcohol, more volume to your buck. That's the way to do it. I'll work it out. It's fine. I'm not going to... I can get through an entire half on a little bottle of wine, whereas a pint, I'll be up and down like a yo-yo at my age.
Absolutely.
But yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Craig. It's very, very kind of you to say so. I'll miss doing it, but I'm looking forward to coming back as a guest.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back as well.
But on that note, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm bowing out at the end of the month. Handing the reins over, so I've got I think two more podcasts, and then I'm going to hit Cardiff as my official retirement due.
I was totally bloody early. Typical.
I announced it this week.
I'm always about premature.
You're very timely.
It's immature, Craig. You're always about immature. Actually,
anyway, no, it's very. We'll see you all next week. And Patreons, if you're watching live, hang about. We'll do the Patreon podcast in a moment.
Bye.
Bye.